Good morning. Our reading today comes from 2 Philippians, verse 1 through to 11. That's Philippians 2, verse 1 through to 11. And it has the sub-theme, imitating Christ's humility. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equal with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those were the words of God.
All righty. Thanks, Ada. Thanks for leading us in prayer this morning as well, Sharon. You might want to turn to that passage. I'm just warning you that the microphone battery is on one bar. If it was a phone, if it was your phone, you would be stressed. If I collapse, it's because the battery has died. We're continuing through what's been quite a long series now. We were going through our gospel from Christmas to Easter, where we looked at the idea of being an apprentice to Jesus, what it was to be a disciple of the rabbi that is Jesus. And then we sort of jumped into this book, which is a church called Tove, which is a leadership book for people leading in church space. But we thought it would be really, really helpful for us as a church to be thinking about the characteristics that it talks about that is Tove. As has already been said this morning, Tove, it's a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew word for God's, for good or goodness. It's usually used, it's often used in regards to God and who he is. In the New Testament, there's a Greek equivalent, but across the Old and New Testament, it's used over 700 times. We've been sitting with these two verses from Romans 12. I think it's the NLT translation, which I just love. But just to remind us of what we've been sitting in through this series, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. They're good words. And one of the things we've been doing is we've been thinking about the shape of Tove is we've been going around the wheel of Tove, which sounds like it could be some sort of TV show game thing. But this is the wheel of Tove. We start at the top right corner, nurturing empathy. It's been a long series because we didn't just look at, for example, nurturing grace, but we looked at what we needed to resist as well. With putting people first, I think that we looked at resisting institutional creep and telling the truth, nurturing justice. We looked at resisting injustice. Last week, we looked at nurturing service. This week in the book, instead of, you know, the opposite sort of to nurturing service in the book is actually resisting the celebrity culture. Once again, it's a leadership book, and it does look at some of the things that have happened in churches. One of the authors worked at Willow Creek under Bill Hybels, and some of the experience through what was experienced there, I guess, has caused them to think about in church leadership the need to resist the celebrity culture. And I said last week, if I have any aspirations for fame, please stop me. And so once again, today we're looking at the idea of humility, but we're going to think, today we're going to think in particular about humility and the place of that. So humility, the word humble's used several times in our passage this morning from Philippians 2. So it's a bit of a go-to for humility. What is humility? Interesting, John Dixon, he wrote a little book, Humilitas, which is on humility. One of the things that he says as somebody who's been a historian as well as a theologian is that this passage we come to this morning is the first time, whether or not John's correct, I don't know, but the first time that in written literature humility is used in a positive way. It was always used in a negative way. That idea of humility is something that you actually take a backward step instead of a forward step. Having been to children's birthday parties, for example, and various other things, having been a teacher, school athletics events, things like that, you see parents, you see them with their kids, and they're like, go on, go on. That's that, you know, promote yourself, leap up, do it, be the winner, that sort of thing. It was considered in ancient times to be a bit of a dumb move to be humble, to take a step back, to maybe let somebody else be first. And it's the first time in this passage that we see humility painted in a positive light. But humility is to be in touch with the truth of who we are. To be in touch with the truth of who we are. To have an accurate understanding of ourselves. Which for us as Christians is interesting because there's that twofold thing going on, isn't there? We are so incredibly broken and yet we are so incredibly loved and valued by God. And so how do we bring those two things together? As we go through various places in the New Testament, we see the word humility or humble, the idea of it in Acts 20:19, for example, serving the Lord with great humility and with tears and with trials. It can be a part of our service of God. It can be a part of our service to one another. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. It's something to do with relationships as well and how it is that we connect to one another as a community or as individuals coming together. Patience, bearing with one another in love. Humility has a place in that. And can I just say Ephesians 4:2 is an encouragement to a thing of beauty, to a thing that is tov. It's something that is good. Philippians 2:3, which we have in our passage this morning, in humility, consider others more important than yourselves. And here, yes, it's relational. Yes, it's a service thing. It's also a leadership thing at this point as well. And we'll think about that a little bit as we go on, as Paul points to Jesus and the one that we follow as he demonstrates humility. 1 Peter 3:8 and 1 Peter 5:5. Humility also comes up, including where Peter says, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble, which sort of highlights that humility is God's way as well. It's the way he operates. It's his chosen way of operating through Jesus as he becomes man. So from the book, A Church Called Tov, it says this. The goal is to create a culture within leadership that says, we matter more than I matter. That mindset can breed an entire culture of service to one another. We matter more than I matter. It's that idea that there's something as a collective going on. I also want to say that it is also when we can say to another individual, for me, you matter more than I matter as well. It only takes a moment to look at our leaders, doesn't it? Just for a moment, and please don't call out any names or anything, but if we think of political leaders, if we think of sometimes leaders that we've seen in the church, leaders perhaps that we have in our workplace, perhaps people who have a leadership position or role in families, this idea of the collective or others being more important is often lost. Not always, but often is. But there is this idea of how we function together as humans on planet Earth. Now, last night there was a game of rugby, which I don't really want to talk about. I'm happy to talk about the first half, but I don't want to talk about the second half. But as somebody, and I've shared this with you before, I know, but that idea of when I played rugby, I thought, why would you ever want to coach rugby? And then I had the experience of coaching rugby. And there was this exhilaration for me in seeing a bunch of kids run around and not do what you asked them to do. It made me feel very alive and very, very annoyed. But there was this one game where they did what I'd asked them to do and everything fell into place. Now, the interesting thing is that for that to happen, each player had to play their part but not push themselves into the area of another person's role. There's also had to be trust, didn't there, that the other person who was supposed to be there at that time would be there at that time. It's teamwork. In teamwork, there is humility. In teamwork, there is that I understand clearly and accurately who I am and why I'm here. And I'm not here to take more than that. In verses 1 and 2, and this is our first point that I think Paul in this passage and the idea of Tov and humble service is that we need to follow the leader. And Paul says, therefore, if you have any encouragement with me, sorry, from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete. There's just that moment there where I think Paul's like me as a coach in rugby. It's sort of like, please, if we could all just play our parts for a moment, oh, that would be good. But what is it, the part that we are to play? And how does it come about? Notice it's being this idea of being encouraged from being united with Christ. Our church vision is that we are shaped by God's love. And that's where it starts. Remember when we were in the justice thing? And I've asked this the last 2 weeks, if you can remember how I define justice. And we're getting there. Do you remember how we define justice now 3 weeks ago? Do you remember? It starts by... yeah, through the Spirit doing the right thing at the right time. It's the same here. And I just think the circle of Tov, it's so sort of interconnected as well. But that idea that through the Spirit, it's our connection with Jesus that makes the difference in us and forms us and shapes us to be able to play our part and not to be so insecure as to step into somebody else's part and to take over. It teaches us to trust. It teaches us to show grace. And it teaches us to be humble. And Paul here is saying, like, if you're united with Christ, if there's anything that's coming out of that reality for you, if there's any comfort from his love, if there's any common sharing in the Spirit, any tenderness, compassion, make my joy complete, being like-minded. And so there's this beautiful picture by Paul that we follow the leadership of Jesus as we connect with him and he works in us and through us. And Paul goes on to say this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, and there's the word, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. And in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. We've talked about it before. There's a Jewish philosopher. His name is Martin Buber. He talks about that idea that, you know, relationships are best done from an I-thou perspective, as in an I-you as in I'm a human being, I'm made in the image of God, and you are a human being made in the image of God. What does he suggest is what we often replace it with, not an I you or an I thou, but an I it. I no longer see you as a human being. I no longer see you as a child of God. I see you as an opportunity, a problem, something I can use, a rung on the ladder as I climb it, whatever it might be, a problem to be solved or dealt with or pushed out of the way. We see other people as its, not yous. Not as somebody else who's a child of God, made in God's image. And so Paul says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Value them as a child of God. See them the way God sees you. And once again, this starts with the Spirit working in us. It's so important for us to start to see ourselves the way God sees us, as a child, made in his image, that even though we're broken, we are somehow valuable and treasured by him. So in your relationships with one another, Paul says, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Worth pausing just for a second, underline it. Same mindset as Christ Jesus. We're following the leader who demonstrates to us what it is to be fully human, the way we were created to be, and that is to serve others. So as we follow the leader, that's the first point. We move on to the second point, which really isn't much different to the first one, and that is to follow the lowly leader. So we're told by Paul very clearly, follow Jesus. Now for a moment, let's think about, well, what does that look like? Where does Jesus go that we should follow him? What does his going look like that we should follow him? We see in verses 6 to 8 this description. I went too far. This description. It says of Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. I don't know how your trajectory is going in life, and if you are climbing the corporate ladder, Jesus models a different approach, doesn't he? Who being in very nature God? That's where Paul begins with who Jesus is. And yet, even though he has the very nature of God, he doesn't consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. In fact, he lets go of that to become human. Now, remember last week, the week before, we just briefly thought about Genesis and Adam and Eve and that idea of, hey, could eat the fruit and be more like God. But there was this sort of silliness in it all because they were already a son and daughter of God. They were made in God's image. They were appropriately very much like God, but they were not satisfied with that. Here we have Jesus, who is the very nature God. And we see that rather than grasp at keeping that, what was rightfully his, Paul goes on, he makes himself nothing. Even though he's the very nature God, he takes on the very nature of a servant, and he's made in human likeness. Can you see the trajectory that Jesus is on, the way that we usually understand trajectories? He's not going up the corporate ladder at all, is he? He's heading down and down and down. Keeps going. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbles himself. So it's not just that he's become a man now. He humbles himself and becomes obedient to death. And it's not just any death, because you and I, we're all going to die. But he dies an undeserved death on a cross so that I can live, so that you can live. It's a journey down to serve. And we saw in John 13, we looked at this last week as well, where Jesus washes the feet of the disciples. And do you remember what he says at the end of it? He says, if I, your teacher and Lord, have done this for you, what do you call me, teacher and Lord? It's right that you call me. That's who I am now that I've done it for you. Jesus says, now, if you do it, What does he say? You'll be blessed if you do it. Remember, we looked at this idea of service and how service is found in the very ordinary as we lower ourselves to the mundane or even sometimes the painful, the thing that we're least interested in doing perhaps. And yet it is there that we find the extraordinary, which I think is a part of what Jesus is saying when he says, when you do that, you'll be blessed. And of course, the passage this morning for us takes a turn, doesn't it? Because it then says in verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the higher place, gave him the name of every above every name. The one who was the lowest then is the most blessed, in a sense. So we follow the lowly leader. And as we do that, I have, I guess, a warning for us this morning to think about before we move to our third and final point, which will be fairly brief. But that is this. There is this understanding in life that there is generally in life, and whether you've, how much you've thought this through, I guess depends on each of us. We've talked a little bit about this before. But there's very often a submission and authority dynamic, a hierarchy that is brought into many things in life. And when I say that, what I mean by submission is that you are under authority to somebody else. And that authority can be anything from making decisions to telling other people what to do. That is to say, there's a power dynamic of greater and lesser. Now, I want to say this, that in life there's roles and responsibilities. And the Prime Minister gets to do some things and tell people what to do because he's the Prime Minister. I would add it's because he's the Prime Minister, it's the role through which he is able to do that. But we as human beings, especially as we follow our Saviour and his example, should understand that submission is for each and every one of us. More than once in Scripture, we are encouraged to submit to one another. Sometimes as you go through the New Testament, there are places where it talks about specific people submitting to specific people. But there is also this truth that this is the posture of a follower of Jesus. In fact, this is the posture of Jesus. One of the things about power dynamics and hierarchy, if they are happening outside of a specific role for a purpose where they are appropriate, is it often requires some sort of judgment, a judgment that places one above another. And one of the things about judgment is that it kills relationship. It's a real relationship killer. Whereas grace and humility are things that foster trust, which is crucial to relationship. So I just want to highlight that. It's something that could be a whole talk in itself, but how it is that we understand in life authority and the place of that, but in particular, how easy it is for us to look at others sometimes and see them as less than we are in some way. And the challenge as to whether or not that's appropriate needs to be thought through. I was reading something about the word submission and how it is used in New Testament by Joel Green this week. He said the verb's semantic center of gravity then is not the breaking of one will by another, but the ordering of oneself in relation to others. It concerns placement, not powerlessness. Used with reference to people, hypotasso, that's the Greek word that's often translated as submit, basically refers to finding and occupying responsibly one's place in society. For those who follow Jesus, this is what it looks like. But the interesting thing is it's the place where we find how it is that we are blessed as well, as we wash the feet of those around us. And no matter how society may have placed them above us or next to us or below us, that's irrelevant in the sense that Jesus is interested in how you and I will submit to each other out of love, just like he does in John chapter 13 as he washes the feet of the disciple, or indeed as he does at the cross with the ultimate sacrifice. One last point with what it looks like when we think about service and to in particular, humble service. And this one should go without saying, but it actually relates to this a little bit, and that is to avoid benevolence and paternalism, which are two words that I struggle to say, so I'll try to say them properly. Benevolence involves the haves doing nice things for the have-nots. Paternalism conveys to the powerless that the powerful are looking out for them. And don't you forget it. As image bearers of God, we are simply seeing other image bearers of God who have a need and doing what we can to meet it in the ordinary course of life. In the book, they then go on to say, a part of this is not drawing attention to the good that we do. Does that make sense? It's not a show. It's not about being seen. It says, don't have a hidden agenda. If we have a hidden agenda, have we actually submitted? No. We're meeting our hidden agenda. That's what we're doing. We're working towards that. A hidden agenda often will make it harder to hold that IU sort of connection with people. It makes it much easier to slip into an I it. So, what it looks like to quietly and humbly to serve one another. And so, to finish off, an invitation for you. We like to have an invitation at the end. And the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about the spiritual practice of service and what that looks like. And I wanted today to think about that as well and maybe give you some, fine-tune that a little bit. I said last week, a spiritual practice on service is really hard to say, hey, this is a spiritual practice on service that you can all do, because that may or may not work out for you this week. It's much better for us to sit with God and our connection with Him and see what it is that He might be placing on our hearts. He may have already placed something on your heart. But where or to whom might you choose to submit, to arrange yourself in relation to, so that you might be a blessing to them this week? And in giving you that to sit with God, you might want to sit with those two verses from Romans 12. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. That would be a great couple of verses to meditate on with this idea of who can I serve that I might be a blessing to them. For you, it could be donating food. It could be helping out at Midtown Eats. It could be reconciling with or apologizing to somebody. It could be changing a tire when somebody's stuck on the side of the road. It could be as simple as smiling and saying thank you. I say that last one just for a moment for us to be challenged about maybe some of our prejudices and preconceived judgments that we make. I think sometimes, and I think in different cultures this is harder for some of us maybe, with backgrounds that we might have, but when you're at the shops or in some retail setting and the person who's serving you, it's their job that they do in school holidays, they're 16 perhaps, they're still getting their head around what it is they have to do, they're young, they're a little bit scattered perhaps, and they maybe aren't coping with what's going on. How do you serve them? Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because in that setting, sometimes smiling and saying thank you has a massive impact. What is it that God places on your heart? And where is it that your perhaps prejudice or your judgment of others, you know, your impatience, where the person in front of you is no longer made in the image of God, has become an it rather than a you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the love that you have shown through him. And we thank you for the way that he showed us what it was like to be truly human, to put others before ourselves. I pray, Lord, for this week as we think about accepting an invitation into serving, being thoughtful and purposeful, perhaps pausing and listening to you. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to discern. Help us to step into what it is that you might invite us into this week in serving others. Help us not to do it in a way that draws attention. Free us from our hidden agendas. Help us to be aware of them when they're very subtle and we may not even be aware that we have them. And we pray these things, Lord, because we are so much captured by your example and your love. We ask that you would help us to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen.